Tonight is Wednesday night, May 22nd, Erev Lag BaOmer. This is the women's Mishnah Gemara share. And last 3 weeks we did topics of counting the Omer. Tonight we're going to focus on Lag BaOmer. Okay. As I just said, I want to focus on Lag BaOmer, which is tonight and tomorrow, to show you things that you probably know already, and quite a number of them which are not as well known, associated with the day of Lag BaOmer. So we're going to start with, on page number one, the Shulchan Aruch, who writes very little about the Omer. And the Mechaber writes at the very beginning, No hagim shelo lisa isha bein Pesach la'atzeret. The custom is, not a halacha, it's a minhag, not to get married between Pesach and Shavuot, ad Lag BaOmer, until Lag BaOmer, b'pnei she'ba'oso zman meitu talmidei Rabbi Akiva. This is the standard explanation which most of you know, that Rabbi Akiva's students died during this time, and therefore one should avoid getting married. But to get engaged, shapir dami, you are permitted to get engaged during the Omer. In fact, I mentioned that some other shiur, the Gemara shiur, that Tosafot in Maseches Ta'anit writes that you're even allowed to get engaged on Tisha B'Av. On Tisha B'Av, where the restriction against getting married during the 3 weeks is not minhag, but alpidin. It's not just a minhag, but it's a halacha during the 3 weeks. Not permitted, but the engagement period is permissible, getting engaged. And the halacha which discriminates, the logic behind that is as follows. Many times when a person is confronted with tragedy, especially the scope of Rabbi Akiva's 24,000 students, or the destructions that took place surrounding first Beit HaMikdash, the ensuing Galut, destruction of the second Beit HaMikdash, ensuing Galut, people begin to give up hope about the future of Am Yisrael. And it's not difficult to understand why you would think about giving up the future. People can still speak to survivors of the Shoah, many of whom, not here to judge anybody, did not believe that there is any purpose to have children, no purpose to maintain a connection to Yahadut and God, because there's no future left for Am Yisrael. So the halacha, in order to counter that, to demonstrate that yes, we are suffering terribly, and our past has been wreaked with havoc, nonetheless, the future of Am Yisrael always bodes well. And the greatest symbol of the future going forward is that two individuals, young man and young woman, make a commitment to go forward, to plan their lives, and that hopefully will serve as an element of chizuk to all of Am Yisrael. And therefore Tosafot in Ta'anit writes, not only are you permitted to get engaged during the 3 weeks, or even the 9 days, even on Tisha B'Av itself, you can get engaged. So here too, Erusin and Kiddushin, which is pretty much the same, is okay. Shapir dami. Unisuin nami, mi shekafatz vikines, ein onchino so. Anybody who decided, I'm getting married during the Omer, you don't punish that individual. You don't punish him. You don't punish him. In fact, this phrase happens to be the basis of Rav Moshe Feinstein's psak that says as follows. We know, as we will see in just a second, that there are two different minhagim as to how to observe the Avelus of the Omer. The Mechaber writes, it's just 33 days, and that's it. The Ramah will later quote the practice that there are those who do not initiate the Omer until Rosh Chodesh, and then from Rosh Chodesh they go to Shavuos to have 33 days. So what happens if I observe the first thing, the first custom, and somebody else who's making a wedding observes the second custom? So between Pesach and Rosh Chodesh, as happens today, and after Lag BaOmer, the reverse. Somebody who observes the second, and I make a wedding because I observe the first, invite someone to the wedding, are you permitted to go? So Rav Moshe says you're allowed to, even though you're observing Avelut. Why? Because it says, Ein Onshin Oto. You should not punish them, even if they did so at a time when nobody gets married. For example, between Rosh Chodesh and Lag BaOmer, ain't nobody getting married. But if somebody did, Ein Onshin Oto. Today, people would say that by not going, you're not punishing anybody. Oh, thank God. It's just saved a couple. That's one less couple to pay for. But when you're not worried about the couple's consideration, the financial situation, you know, people invite you because hopefully they want you to come, not they had to invite you. Yes?
So, I know you're not supposed to change your family's menhagim, but there are people that...
Rav Moshe writes, correct. Rav Moshe says that because this is such a minhag, not din, you have a right to go back and forth any year simply to accommodate a simcha schedule or whatever else is necessary, whatever compelling reason. If there's no compelling reason, there's no reason to change. But if there is any type of reason, it is okay to go ahead and change. So that's what the Mechaber says. However, adds the Ramah, Miyu melag ba'omer va'elech hakol shari. And from after Lag BaOmer and onward, everything is permissible. So that is the Mechaber. Then the Mechaber adds in Siv Bet, Noagim shelo lehistaper ad Lamed Gimel BaOmer. There is a minhag not to take a haircut until Lag BaOmer. Sheomrim sheaz pasku milamut. Because there are two different versions about the death of the students of Rabbi Akiva. Some say they died during the first 33 days. So after Lag BaOmer, nobody's dying. No reason to observe Avelus. Others say, no, they died 33 of the 49 days. But we're not exactly sure when they died. So all you have to do is observe 33 days of Avelus, but not necessarily the first 33. So he, the Mechaber, is assuming the first explanation, that they stopped dying by Lag BaOmer, and here is Sephardic practice. Ve'ein lehistaper ad yom lamedalid babok. Sephardim do not take a haircut tomorrow. Sephardim don't get married tomorrow. They are permitted to go ahead and take a haircut and everything after Lag BaOmer, on the 34th day of the Omer. Ela im kein chal yom lamed gimel erev Shabbos, she'oz mistaprin bo mitnei kvod ha-Shabbos. If the 32nd day of the Omer comes out on Shabbos, if Lag BaOmer is on erev Shabbos, so then to take a haircut on Sunday would be a pachin punim to Shabbos. Because it's the day after Shabbos, so lichvod Shabbos, you're allowed to go ahead and then take a haircut on the Friday. But under normal circumstances, no. Ubindinos elu, says the Rambam, in Ashkenazic customs, ein nohagin kidvarav. We do not follow this practice of delaying haircuts until the 34th. Ela mistaprim biyom lamid gimel. We take a haircut on the 33rd day. Umarbim bo ktsat simcha. We somehow engage in some degree of rejoicing. Ve'ein omrim bo tachanun. And we don't say tachanun tomorrow. Ve'ein lehistaper ad lamil gimel be'atzmo ve'lo mi bo'erev. A lot of people called me today. Can I take a haircut tonight? And the answer is no. The Ramah writes specifically that you have to wait until the morning. He does not explain why, but the answer is very simple. I can't explain why this is the case. If you remember in the Moed Katan Shir, we had a Shir about Mitzas Hayoin Kikulo, that there is a principle in relationship to Avelus, that whenever you come to a unit of counting, the last day need not be observed in totality, but all you have to do is observe Miktsat Hayom, part of the day. So if tomorrow was, for example, somebody was sitting Shiva this week, and tomorrow would be the last day of the Shiva, well, the last day of the Shiva starts tonight. So why can't I just wait an hour tonight at 9:30, get up from my velus? And I would say, Miktsat Hayom Kikulo. I can't explain why. But the fact is, the Miktsat Hayom Kikulo only applies in the morning, not the night before. That's why people get up on the seventh day from Shiva always in the morning, not at night. So I don't know why. Same thing with Shloshim. Miktsat Hayom Kikulo is applied for Shloshim. So when it comes to the Shloshim, after daybreak, you can take a haircut. Same thing with Yud Bet Chodesh. The 12 months, you don't have to wait until the last day of Avelus to reach yahrzeit, for example. But you get up the day in the morning. Early in the morning, you terminate the Yud Bet Chodesh. So the Ramah, in all probability, is doing the same thing. We are observing some degree of Avelus. Hence, the expression of terminating Avelus has to take place daylight hours and not evening hours. And as a result, we would apply the halach of Mitzvah Sayon Kekulo to this. And that's why you cannot take a haircut tonight. Umiyu imchal b'yom rishon. If now Lag BaOmer comes out on Sunday, noagin lehistaper b'yom vav l'chvot Shabbos. That's not the case of Karo. This Karo was when he waits till the 34th, but the 33rd was when? On Friday. According to Ramah, Yulag BaOmer is Sunday. So Friday is the 31st day of the Omer. 31st. But he's allowing you to take a haircut, Mipnei Kvod HaShabbos. Mipnei Kvod HaShabbos. Umi shehu bal bris omol bino mutter lehistape besviro lechvod hamilo. Somebody who's making a bris is permitted to take a haircut any time during the Omer, nothing to worry about. And there are a couple of people who are included in the heter. The mayel, the pap, and the sandik. All are permitted. And the Gemara in Tanis describes this as Yom Tov Shelanu, the day of a bris for these main participants. It's considered their Yom Tov. And once something is considered your Yom Tov, that overrides all considerations of Avelus. And this is a Gemara. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Tanis, once again, that if Tisha B'Av came out on Shabbos and was pushed to Sunday, so now Tisha B'Av would be observed on the 10th day of the month of Av. There were certain families who were honored with the privilege of bringing wood to the Beit HaMikdash. Not everybody, they didn't accept wood from everybody. So certain families, during X number of days of the year, they were entitled to bring the wood. One of the days in which a family known as the Bnei Bisanov brought was the 10th of Av. That was their day. So when Tisha B'Av came out on Shabbos and was supposed to the 10th, they did not have to complete the fast. Even Tisha B'Av, which was a Nidcha, because they said, Yom Tov Shelanu. It is our day of Yom Tov. And our day of Yom Tov takes priority against Chazal's day of the push-off of a Tisha B'Av, which is a Nidcha. And in fact, there are some people who have this practice. I remember Rabbi Taubes several times when he had boys. On the day in which he made a bris, he didn't go to work. Because it's Yom Tov Shelanu. It's recommended not to go to work that way. Not that there's...
Your wife.
What?
Or because you're helping your wife.
That might also help. That might also help. So that's why they want you home. They don't to help your wife. There can be no better reason. Fine. Yeah. So that's it. Then the final halacha is Yesh Noagim Lehis Taper Barosh Chodesh Iyar V'Talosu B'Yadam. There are people who decide to take haircuts on Rosh Chodesh Iyar, says the Mechaber. That's a serious mistake because he doesn't know of the second minhag. And even the second minhag, says the Ramah, Miu Baharbe Mikomot, Noagim Lehis Taper Ad Rosh Chodesh Iyar, the Osan Lo Yisperu Milag Baomer V'Elech. They should not take a haircut after Lag Baomer till Shavuot. Even though they're allowed to take a haircut on Lag Baomer itself. Fine. So this is the standard interpretations. Fine. So if you go now to the next page, I want to show you some other influences which explain some of the bizarre practices that take place on Lag Baomer. Number one, try to understand the root of the bonfires. Why do we make bonfires on Lag Baomer? The Mechaber didn't say, just because somebody stopped dying, you're not going to make a bonfire. So why do we do that? So there are a couple of explanations. What we have here on the next two pages is Ovadi Yosef's halachot of Lag Baomer. And then we will follow that with another contemporary, Rav Aviner, who responded to a lot of questions and cautions about the bonfire procedures. Bonfire procedures. Somebody told me just today that they were on a flight last year on El Al, and it arrived on the night of Lag Baomer, and the pilot said, I'm going to go off course a little, not going to land. I'm going to go up the coast a little just that you can see the thousands of bonfires on the beach, on the beaches of Tel Aviv, Netanya, Bat Yam, and so on and so forth, just that you can look at it. That only happens on El Al, no place else. Yeah. What?
Smells like smoke everywhere.
I know. That's why you'll see Rav Aviner is against it. He says air pollution is something that we should be concerned with. We'll see it in a minute. But now, Lag Baomer, Yom Lamed Gimel Omer, Hu Yom Simcha VeChedva. This is Ovadia Yosef, Lichvod HaTana Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, in honor of the Tana Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. There is support for this idea in Poskim. Last year, he writes, when it was, no problem. Then he writes, Mikubal b'fi kol, ki yom lamed gimel la'omer, hu yom pitirato shel Rab Shimon bar Yochai. The tradition has it that Rab Shimon ben Yochai's yahrzeit is on Lag Baomer. Now, he is the attributed author of the Zohar. We don't really know who the author of the Zohar is, but it's attributed. Most historians do not believe that Rab Shimon ben Yochai wrote it in the 3rd century. Third century, but it was written in the 12th century or 13th century by Rab Moshe de Leon. That's what most historians say. So just as an aside, when I was teaching in Deal, and I mentioned this to my students, that he is the attributed author, I got called to a board meeting and said, what do you mean attributed? Attributed? You never will say that again in any of your classes. He undoubtedly wrote the Zohar. because so much of Sephardic ritual and practice is predicated upon the Zohar based on the fact that it was authored by Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. If it was some Rishon in the 14th, 13th century, Moshe de Leon, it wouldn't have that sacred holiness. Ulam Hagaon Bal Shoel Umeshev, Rav Shaul Natanzan, who was one of the Rabbanim of Yerushalayim Irakodesh, Tomo Alkach. She'im Yom Zehu Yom Petirat Rabbi Shimon, Lo Haya Lanu Lismoach Klal Bayom Zeh, Ki Masimcha Yesh Biptirat Hatzadikim. What joyous celebration should there be on the what? On the death, the anniversary of the death of a tzaddik. So this has become the typical debate between chassidim and misnagdim. Correct. Chassidim have a hilula, a yom mishteh, on a day of a yard site. Every Rebbe's yard site is a day to engage in festivity. I grew up in Borough Park, and I used to daven in a shtiebel. The only time that people asked the question is, why are we saying Tachton today? The assumption was, there's some Rebbe's yard site, we're not reciting Tachton today. 5 days a year they said Tachton. What's up with Hans Zuckman Tachton?
What's up with Hans? Also celebrate on the yard site.
Yes,
right?
They do. 100%. Lithuanian schools fast. Fast. That's the real. The Gemara talks about Tzom Biyom Hamavis. The Gemara speaks about it and discusses, the Shulchan Aruch discusses, on certain days where it is inappropriate to fast. Somebody had yard site on the, let's say, on the 10th day of the month of Nisan. So the Mishnah tells, the Masechet Sofrim says, you're not supposed to fast all of the month of, not supposed to offer eulogies, not supposed to fast. So if somebody has yard site, are they allowed to fast? And most say they cannot fast then. But at least what was known in the Gemara was not to engage in a hilula, but quite the contrary, to fast on a yard site. Ulam b'shut shem aryeh kosav shahatam sha'osim simcha bayom zeh hu mipnei shenoda masha amru b'gemara b'mesecha Shabbos. And I want to show you that Gemara inside. There's a Gemara in Masechet Shabbos, very famous story of Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. And many claim, and then we'll see why the fires are related to this. So this is found on page 8. Page 8. What? According to tradition. Yes. 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 So every year, the Rebbe who is honored with lighting the big bonfire in Meron is Nancy Block's brother. Yes. The Biana Rebbe. Yes, it's all over the internet how he came to Meron from Yerushalayim and he lit the bonfire tonight. He is mechubad every year, I don't know why, with that particular recovered.
You know what I want? That's what he is.
Really? Yeah.
It's, you can ask him to see if he had the children's favorite at that time.
Yeah, oh, that's correct. That, that's correct. 100%. Upsharings. In fact, on the internet it says that thousands of barbers go to Meron.
No, they can't do it at night.
Huh?
They can't do it during the day because you said they can't do it at night.
Can't do what? It's a little kid's hair. You can cut it anytime you want. Uh-huh. They're not observing Avelus. It's a 3-year-old kid.
Well, it's just one funny thing. That Pally Bennett in front of his house, there's like a thing with a security stick that says, so someone wrote on the internet, they took a picture of it and they said, Lad Bomer's coming. You know, security. He's not going to need it anymore.
Uh-huh.
Mess it anymore.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Funny.
Says the Gemara, the Yasve, there was a story, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon. The three of them were getting together to have a snack or something. We don't know why. The Yosef Yehuda Ben Gerim Gabayu. And a person by the name of Yehuda Ben Gerim sat with them. Pasach Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda opened up his mouth and he said, Kama no'im ma'aseim shel umazu. How nice the Romans are to us. How nice they are to us. Tiknu shvakim, they established markets. Tiknu gisharim, they fixed bridges. Tiknu merchatzaot, they opened up bathhouses. Fine. Rabbi Yossi Shasak. Rabbi Yossi didn't comment whatsoever on this profound statement of Yehuda ben Gera. It was by Rabbi Yehuda, excuse me. Ne'ene Rab Shimon bar Yochai. Rab Shimon bar Yochai said, Kol ma shetiknu, lo tiknu el tzorech atzman. Whatever they established, they did for their own personal needs, not because they were nice to Am Yisrael. Tiknu shvakin, they established markets, lahoshiv behem zonos, to go ahead and have prostitutes populate the markets. Tiknu merchatzaot, they established bathhouses, le'adein behen ba'atzman, to enjoy their own, to have a good time when you go to the bathhouse, to get, whatever you do in the bathhouse. Gisharim, why did they establish bridges? Litol lehem meches, to charge a tax, a toll. You know, we know what tolls are, right? Halach Yehuda ben Gerim v'siper divrayim. Rabbi Yehuda ben Gerim started telling everybody about the comments that were made, how Rabbi Yehuda said this, how Rabbi Yossi was quiet, and Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. And once everybody started talking about it, nishma'u l'malchut, the Roman authorities got wind of it as well. Amru, they said, Yehuda she'ila, Yehuda who praised the Roman government, yit'ale, he shall continue to be praised. They decided to award him with a special government position. Yossi sheshasak, Yossi, he just remains quiet. Yigle letzipore, he's going to have to move out of wherever he was. This was in Tveria. He's going to have to go to Tzipora. We're going to kick him out of his residence. Shimon shegina, Shimon who humiliated and spoke anti-government, yehoreg, is to be sentenced to death. Azal hu uberei, toshu bei midrasha. He, Shimon, and his son Elazar used to hang out in the base medrash. Kol yomei have a maisa luhu debisu, rifta v'kuza demaya v'charche. Every day, his wife brought him bread and a little barrel of water, and they were able to break bread and continue to learn. Kitakif gizerosa, when everybody found out that the Roman authorities are actually tightening their noose and closing in on Shimon ben Yochai, Amalei lebrei, nashim daton kalos aleihem. Women are not going to be able to tolerate the persecution, the torture that what? That these Roman authorities are going to place on. Dilma mitza'arila, perhaps they will torture them. Umigalyalon, they're going to reveal where me and you are sitting in this base medrash. Ozlu toshu b'ma'arasa. They decided to hide in a cave. Now in a cave, she had no idea where they were. She couldn't bring any water or bread to them. So Israchesh Nisa, a miracle occurred. Ivrei lehu charuva, a carob tree, the Eno de Maya, and a little brook of water developed in this cave. The Hevel Mishalchu Meinayu, and they would be sitting there all day, talking to one another. The Hevel Yasvi Atzavorayu Bechala, and they were sitting in sand all the way up to their necks. Kule Yami Garse, whole day they were learning. Be'idon tsluye, when it came time to daven, lovshu, michsu v'tzot, they put their clothes back on. They were sitting naked, but covered completely with dirt. Why did they take off their clothing? Because they knew they were going to be here for a while, and the clothing would wear out if they're wearing them all the time. So they wanted to save their clothing, and they only put them on during davening times. The rest of the time, they were there and they covered themselves with sand. Okay. Yeah. So they were there, fine, very nice. Very nice. Now, fine, that's the famous story. Then they decided to, the Gemara goes on to say later, that they decided to leave, see what's going on, and Rab Shimon Bar Yochai saw somebody who was planting and plowing, and he said, Manichim chaye oilam v'oiskin b'chaye shah. You're going to leave the life of Torah, and what happened? These people got burnt with a fire. So they said, you know what? You're coming to destroy the world? Shimon, go back into the cave. So he went back in for another 12 years. He was there 12 years, and then a total of 24 years. Fine, very nice. Now, this thing with fire perked the Zohar's attention. And according to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, he is the Zohar. We're talking about the same guy. So if you turn now to page 9 for a moment. So you have a lengthy entry on the Zohar. It's called Sha'ar Mamorei Rab Shimon Bar Yochai. And on the left-hand side, fortunately, there is a Hebrew translation of the Aramaic, difficult Aramaic, of the Zohar, which is on the right-hand side. So we're going to read the translation. Amar Rabbi Abba, Lo siyem hamo'or hakadosh lomar chayim ad shenishtakteku dvarav. He was Rab Shimon Bar Yochai did not complete the word chayim until he was silenced. So if you want to see what was he saying, Chaim, look on the Aramaic side in the paragraph that I bracketed. So it says he quoted a pasuk in Mishle and a pasuk in Tehillim. Pasuk in Mishle writes, Orech Yomim Ushnot Chaim. You see that? And then he quoted another pasuk, Chaim Sha'al Mimcha. So as he was saying the word Chaim, he couldn't get the words out of his mouth. Now back to the translation. Va'ani hakosev chashavti lichtav od. And I, the writer, I wanted to write more words. V'lo shamati, v'lo zakafti roshi. I couldn't hear anybody saying anything. Ki ha'or hayagadol, because this fire was enormous fire. V'lo ha'yisi yachol lehistakel, and because the fire was so robust, I couldn't take a look to see what's happening, says Rabbi Abba, to whom? To Rab Shimon Bar Yochai. Toch kach necharadati, I got scared. Ki shamati kol hakorei veomer orech yomim ushnos chayim veshamati kol acher chayim shal mimeka. Continues on the next page. Kol oso hayom lo hifzik ha'esh mehabayis velo hayam mi shiachol lavo shiavol letocho shelo yichlu ki ha'or v'ha'esh hayu svivav kol oso hayom. What happened? The fire didn't stop. And I fell on the ground, Rabbi Abba saying, and I screamed. What did I see? I saw Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai go up to heaven. Kishehu mi'utaf as he was completely dressed. Shochev al yumino, lying down on his right side. Uponav shochakot, and his face was what? Smiling, delighted. Very nice. Come Rabbi Loza Benova, lokach yadav, and noshak lahem. Fine. So, according to the Zohar, Rab Shimon Bar Yochai dies in a pillar of smoke, in a pillar of fire. So, most believe that the reason why barn fires are lit on Lag BaOmer is because they believe that this event took place on Lag BaOmer. Took place on Lag BaOmer. And since he went up to heaven in fire, therefore, it's a very great day. That's why it's the reason to be misameach with fire. Because this is not an ordinary death, obviously. This is somebody going up to heaven, directly to heaven in fire. So therefore, we commemorate that every single day. So, Avadi Yosef will then comment and say, but I want to show you something before that, that no, he definitely didn't die on Lag BaOmer, but what it is. I want to show you the comments of the Chassam Sofer to all of this. Before I show you Rav Aviner. What? That is correct. He's the guy, the Malshin. Correct. But he did, according to many, he did not tell the government directly. But he talked to everybody, and the government found that it said Nishma HaMelachim. The government heard about it. But he was guilty because he was saying Lashon Hara.
What happened to him?
Nobody knows what happened to him yet.
And did the son also, Rav Eliezer, did he also go up in the smoke?
No.
So it said he was
missing
him.
No.
How did we take the story? What's the...
Okay, so the question is how you take anything in the Zohar, sir. Depends who you are. So some people take Zohar like Torah, I mean it, like Torah Misinai. Like Torah. And in fact, Karo was undoubtedly influenced by the Zohar. Because many of the minhagim of Anshei Sfarad are based not on Halacha, not on Shulchan Aruch, but on the Zohar. We Ashkenazim rarely establish a halachic practice based on the Zohar, but Sfardim do it all the time. All the time.
Who could have been about the students also building bonfires? Isn't that another reason?
Who
Rabbi
Akiva
students
that
they built
them? No? Could be. Don't know. So now I want to show you first on page 6 and 7 the Chassam Sofer. So, you all know the famous motto of the Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer's motto was a pasuk in Koheles. Ein kol chadash tachas ha-shemesh. So what it means by Shlomo HaMelech, it means, don't get surprised about anything. There's a precedent for everything. Ein kol chadash tachas ha-shemesh. The way the Chassam Sofer interpreted is, chadash Asur min haTorah. Don't try anything new. He objected to celebrations on Lag BaOmer based on this. The bottom of the page 6. Amnam yodati ki shomati she'achshav achshe dori. Now generations have decided to approve. Umi merchak yavo, and from distances they will come. Yidrushu es Hashem b'ir haKodesh Tzfat b'yom Lag BaOmer. They'll come to the city of Tzfat b'hilula de Rashbi Zal. V'im ki kol kavanasim l'shem shamayim. There is no doubt that these people are doing so to honor the heaven. Scharam rav b'li safek. There's no doubt that they will get rewarded for their wonderful practices. Aldas v'digulo udliku neiros. They put up flags and what? They built bonfires aleava to demonstrate their love for Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. K'moshe kasuv toisus reish perik and manidin. Avol mitam ze ba'atzmo. Next page 7. Hayiti ani min haprushin. I am one of those people, Mazeh Parush, isolated, separated. I don't engage such a things. Ki ben derusai shelo etztareich lihios yoshev sham umishane min hagam bifnehem. I don't go there because I am not going to participate in any of these practices. Ushelo erze lihit chaber imahem bazeh. Now, why does he make this opposition to it? And he will describe. Any day which has no makor in Tanakh or in the Gemara, nobody has a right to establish as their own holiday. You cannot fabricate your own holidays, even if you think a miracle occurred, unless it's a miracle that occurred to all of Klal Yisrael. Then, a miracle, we have much basis of that, of miracles taking place for, you know, for Klal Yisrael, or for at least segments of a community, but not for an individual. You don't make a national Yom Tov for anything that happened simply on behalf of an individual. And Chassam Sofer says, as important as Rav Shimon Bar Yochai is, he was an individual. And hence, he never participated in Tzfat with any of these celebrations, because he said, I have no right, you have no right to do so. No right to do so.
Then Yom HaAtzmaut he would agree with.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but at least in theory, of course he should.
In principle,
he should have. Yes, right. So that's the Chassam Sofer expressing his opposition to it. Then if you go for a second to Rav Aviner on page 4 and 5, page 4, yeah, 4 and 5, and he writes, we'll go through a couple, Aleph on the bottom of the page, Ein shum halacha v'shum minhag lahadlik madura balag ba'omer. There is no halacha, no mina quoted in Rishonim to engage in lighting a madura. Number two, bet. Kvar he'iru hachida v'od gilolim shahamakor shebo katuv shirashbi alalam romrim balag ba'omer nafla ba'otout sofer. It was a total mistake, a mistaken print. B'makom shemeis, they wrote, it says, shemeis Rab Shimon ben Shimon Yochai, tzoruch liyot simchat Rashbi. Bizmano achron nitgalek savyad yashan, hame'asher, that proves, shenafla kan ta'ut sofer. So the whole basis of it is based on the fact that he died, went up to heaven on this day. He didn't die on this day. Three, gamim no mashe Rashbi niftar b'lag ba'omer, ein makor baru l'kach shebiyom moto shel tzadik osim chagigo madura. Even if you to assume, where is the every precedent that on a day which somebody died, what do? You make a party and a fire. Adaraba, ze yom shel tzom. It's a day of fasting. So he quotes the Chassam Sofer in his commentary, Toras Moshe and Vayikra. I showed it to you in one of the Chassam Sofer's tshuvas. Dalit, ubichlal, acharei churban beit hamikdash, ein lehosif yamim tovim chadashim. And that he quotes from the Shut Chassam Sofer that I just told you. Hey, harama kotev b'shulchan aruch harachayim tzav tzadigimel, shebelamidgimel ba'omer, Osim Kitzat Simcha. We read that. You make it a little happy. Achlo Mazkir Madura. Doesn't say anything about making a fire. Six. Now comes an historical suggestion. Historical, which he is going to challenge. But if you go on Wikipedia, so there is one section there which says Lag Ba'omer Bikitvei Hatzionut, and at the beginning of the 20th century, several historians wrote that Lag Ba'omer is a day to commemorate Mered Bar Kokhba, the revolt, the Bar Kokhba revolt, which was endorsed by Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva called Bar Kokhba the Messiah, Mashiach. He made a mistake, but he called him the Mashiach. Many disagreed with Rabbi Akiva. And the way they announced the signal that the Bar Kokhba revolt is about to get started is they went up onto mountaintops and made bonfires. Yes, they made bonfires. And that the bonfires that we commemorate are to commemorate the courage of Bar Kokhba. And apparently it happened around this time, perhaps even on Lag Ba'Omer. And these same historians, it is in this thing that there is a stamp that was produced by Israel in 1951, in which it was released on Lag Ba'Omer. I tried to redo it, but if for some reason it didn't let me print it. I don't know why. It didn't let me print it. I wanted to show you the stamp and the explanation why they released it on Lag Ba'Omer in 1951. It was a picture of whoever it was with the Bar Kokhba revolt. And they also had symbols on the stamps of bows and arrows. And that's why in Eretz Yisrael as well, it used to be the custom to shoot the archery target practice with bows and arrow, all to commemorate the Bar Kokhba revolt.
It gives credence to the sovereignty of the Jewish people.
That is correct. 1,000%. 100%. That was an attempt for sovereignty, which unfortunately failed. And now we're going to bring it to fruition. So Rav Aviner in number 6 says, Ein Keshe Barur. Well, you don't have any definite positive connection Bein Lag Ba'Omer Lebein Mered Bar Kokhba. Ukamuvan Le'orer Givura Hutamit Avar Tov. To arouse courage among soldiers and citizens is always a good idea. Rashbi Lo Ach Ein Lazer Keshe L'Madura. That has no connection necessary to a fire, even though historians say that was the signal that happened to be used to trigger that the community that the Bar Kokhba revolt is taking place. 7. Im Kfar Osim Madura, number 1, Asur Lignov Eitzim. You can't steal anybody's wood. V'Asur Lignov Agalot Markulim Kidei Lohovilam. You can't steal wagons in order to transport them. Rashbi lo haya ganav. Rav Shimon Maya was not a thief. V'gam lo Bar Kokhba. Bar Kokhba wasn't a thief either. So let's not commemorate their day with inappropriate activity. Acharei hamudura yesh le'esof es ha'etzim hasrufim. V'chol k'chein kol shiurei hamazon va'arizot. Clean up after yourself. Rashbi halohaya milachleich. Rashi didn't leave the grounds dirty. V'cheinu bar kochba. Right. Ein lo shevet me'urav banim b'manot gvarim v'nashim b'madura. Rashi bar Yochai didn't sit mixeding either. Okay. Number 10.
Wasn't he alone?
What?
Wasn't he by himself?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Yesh la'asot ha'medura b'makom batuach misakanat hitpashtat sreifa. And this is something that takes place every year. There's certain tragedies that take place. U'la'achin dalyei mayim, to prepare buckets of water. V'chol and sin al kol tzara. U'lichabot heitev kol gachal, every kol b'sof ha'medura. L'tza'areinu kol shana yesh sreifot. This is the greatest line. Yud Aleph. Yotzim yidei madura ketana b'shir kezayis o kebeitza. If you can eat matzo with this, as I have to say, you can be yotze with this. Ein tzorach b'madura anakit ad lev hashamayim. Kol shana maniim b'lag ba'omer l'cheder miyun anashim im kviyot. Every year, emergency rooms are packed with people who had burns. Otsi ba'la'asot madurik tana. Hamedorot gormot zihum avir nora. It causes terrible air pollution. V'chol shana megi'im b'lag ba'omer l'cheder miyun anashim im ba'ayot b'darkei haneshima. People have trouble breathing. People have trouble breathing. Good. Ein la'asot madura b'sha mu'ucheret. Eifo sheyesh shcheinim v'ze mafri alahem lishon. V'chein tzorich lakum b'cha b'bokel l'zman tefila. Kasher lag ba'omer chal b'motzoi Shabbos b'meron. Ze goreim chilu Shabbos nora. V'ayom eitzel hamishtara. V'eitzel anashim rabim. The cops have to come there beforehand, and they're going to be Michal Shabbos because you guys want to make a big bonfire. Rajbi Oher Michal Shabbos. Gam Bar Kochba Lo Chilo Shabbos. So, Bichlal Ein Makor Barur Lehilula B'Miron.
He's losing the
battle. I can't understand this great thing in Meron. Harbe gedoyle Yisrael omrim she'adif l'sheves ba'osel zman l'lmod Torah ve'et kesef hanisi'ah lotet l'tzedakah l'limud Torah u'l'tzedakah yesh makor barur ve'ein tzarech lomar she'rashbi lomad Torah. Knows it. Very cute. U'bichlal yesh laharbot ahavat Yisrael rashbi hayem od ba'ad zeh. Fine. So that's how Rav Aviner put out his little diary about conduct on Lag BaOmer. What? This from him was. Let's see if there's a date on it. No, it just says Lag BaOmer. Yeah, it says yeah. In 15, May 6th, 2015. Tavshin Ayin Hay.
The
Minhag
for going Meiron and Lag BaOmer is back.
Yeah, yeah. It's, again, it's not mentioned any place in Rishayim or sources, but it is old Minhag, yeah, no doubt. But that's in general part of the practice that you go Al Kivrei Tzadikim. People in Eretz Yisrael go Al Kivrei Tzadikim all the time. So Rav Shimon Bar Yochai is not any worse.
I have a family story that my grandmother, who was went on a donkey.
Really? Wow. No.
No, with a family. They didn't have
Right. So this is just an event that is just unbelievable. You see pictures. There are hundreds and thousands of people who are there tonight. Hundreds and thousands of people. Are there tonight? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, really? Yeah? But nobody's going to listen. No one's going to listen not to do it. Right.
Rules in Israel. They're not even a suggestion. They don't pay attention.
Right. If you go to page 3 for one moment, on page what? Okay, page 3, the last paragraph. And this is, I'm going to just make a comment about this. The Hagon Rav Yona Navon, who is the Rebbe of the Chidah, very nice, he writes in the end of the second line, and he says he was such a chassid, so on and so forth. Kasav shenit pashet haminhag beir hakodesh Yerushalayim laharbot besimcha betisporet harishona shel yelet katan b'shvil chibuv hamitzvah shel hanachat peot harosh. Why do you give the haircut on Lag BaOmer? Because you're going to demonstrate your love for the mitzvah of peyot. The hainu shelo gozezim legamre hasa'arot shebetzidei harosh ubekach mekaymin mitzvat lo takifu pa'at roshchem. What? No idea. He doesn't tell us why.
Well, no, the reason is because you weren't allowed to get a haircut beforehand.
So okay, but that's possible.
Even though, like you said, he's three, he didn't have
okay.
a job.
Okay, now, the whole idea of not cutting your peyos is not a mitzvah saseh. There is no mitzvah in the Torah to grow peyos. There is a lav not to cut it. But there's no mitzvah to go ahead and wear peyos.
But not long ones.
It says don't cut below this area over here or this area. There are five areas where you're not permitted to cut. Two here, and one over here. That's it. It means lo sakifu pas roshchem. That's cutting your beard. Pas roshchem means not to cut over here. Don't make your head like a priest by taking a soup bowl, putting it, that's what they used to do, and just cutting your hair over there by cutting off the peyote. That's all you're not.
Isn't this more significant than the beard?
No.
Why do people choose
it's,
their beards?
Because the Isur is only with a razor.
Oh, right. But peyos is even without a razor.
That is correct. That's correct. Because by the beard it says lo tashchitu pa'at ziknechem. You need derech hashchata, something that destroys the hair. That's the razor. But cutting it with a scissors is okay. By the peyote, it doesn't say anything about hashchata, any way of taking it off. But al pidin, there is no kiyum hamitzvah whatsoever of wearing peyote. None. It's all based on a Zohar, which says that there is an idea of, you know, keeping the peyos. It's not just avoiding a lav. It's a kiyum maseh.
So that's the connection. That's the connection to Meirah.
Yes, I know. But nobody can explain it lahalacha. And that's why, up until modern day, the only ones who had peyot were the chassidim. You never saw a Bnei Akiva guy with peyos. You never saw a yeshivish person with peyos.
Or Sfardim.
What? Or Sfardim. Today, every single community, there are people who wear peyos. Sfardim, Bnei Akiva, what we call those? The Dati Leumi guys, they have peyos. Yeshivish guys and all the yeshivot, all peyos. It's just hard to imagine what is running through their minds when there is... I'm not looking at you. That's all. What's running through their mind? What kiyum mitzvah are they fulfilling? What? Okay, that's fine. That's no problem. But that's not where Rebbe's wore payas because they like the look. They bought into this as the Rebbe of the Chida bought into it that there is a kiyum asay of ufaat zikanam lo yigalechu. That you don't cut the peyote, that's not just avoiding a lav, but if you do so, you get a mitzvah. You get a mitzvah. So the longer they are, the better it is. We normally never say that avoiding a lav is a mitzvah. Right? Avoiding a lav means you don't do the lav. That's it. You didn't do it, you don't get a mitzvah for not doing a lav. If you don't eat chametz on Pesach, oh, I didn't eat chametz today. That's nice. Okay, who cares? You know, not giving you a mitzvah for that. Just not allowed to eat it. No lav. If you don't eat tarfus today, you walk by McDonald's. You don't get a mitzvah because you didn't eat tarfus today. There's a violation to eat tarfus. So it's a little difficult. But anyhow, that's what happened. All right, stop here. Continue next of us. Next week? Yeah, there's a show next week. Okay. Next week. Welcome.
I asked you to send me pictures, but I didn't get
Okay.